Amen. If you have your Bibles for a few moments, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and the title of this message is Fan the Flame. Fan the Flame. 2 Timothy chapter 1, just a few verses. This is Paul's letter to Timothy. And he starts in verse 6 and says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, called us, with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." We want to look at the translation of what Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God. The word stir up, if you go back into the Greek, it refers to hot embers in a fire. Everybody been around a fire before? Fireplace, bonfire. When the flames begin to subside, what do? You grab something and you start stirring them up again. And so Paul's talking about stirring up the hot embers to rekindle anew the flame of the fire. One commentator put it this way: "I'm reminding you to shake the ashes off the God-given fire that's in you." And as this letter was being written, there's really no reason to believe that Timothy's fire had gone out, because if the fire had gone out, you can't rekindle something that's dead. But every fire, and I don't care who you are, I don't care how long you've been in this, I don't care how much you think you know, every fire sometimes needed stirring. I have had to go back and say, "God, stir me. God, stir me." Sometimes we get complacent. Sometimes we get like we know it all. And I don't want to be guilty of, "Well, I've been in this for 40 years. Nobody can teach me anything, or nobody can tell me anything." I always want to be open to learning the things of God, no matter who's behind the podium speaking or teaching. I want to say, "God, let me learn something today. Let me find something out new in your word today." So every fire needs stirring, rearranging. Why? To keep it burning. And it's a powerful insight into a reason why so many Christians are like smoldering ashes than dancing fires. And you see it all the time. Amen. Sitting in churches across America, people are just going through the motions. They're just coming in, sitting on their pew, and they're wanting to be more entertained than anything else. So I don't want to be entertained. I want to be met by the presence of God. And so how many of us think in our lives that I've had to go back and I've had to rekindle my fire a few times? I've had to make some changes. I've had to do some rearranging. Amen. If my devotional life is a little dull, well, let's try something different. If my joy in Christ has sort of cooled, amen, let's do something a little different. I've always said, find somebody who's on fire for God and go sit next to them in a service, amen, and see just what happens. Maybe something they got might splash on you, and you can walk out of the service a little bit different. Amen. Always find that one who's on fire for God. I mean, it's like frying chicken in a frying pan. If you're not careful, amen, some of the grease is going to pop out on you and burn you. Well, let me find somebody who's on fire for God that I can sit next to in a service, and I can say, "Lord, let a little bit of what's moving on them, amen, move on me, so I can leave this place a little bit different." I don't want to walk in and leave the same old way. I don't want to walk in burdened down. I don't want to walk in with the weight of the world on my shoulders and then walk out of a church service the same way. Amen. When I leave a church service, I want to be met by the presence of God, and I want to leave a little bit different. I want to leave knowing that I've come in contact, amen, with the life giver. I want to leave knowing that I have have met the one, amen, who redeemed me and saved me and changed me. And that one is Jesus Christ. Amen. So if your joy is a little bit dull, amen, do something gift different. Amen. Don't be surprised, amen, when your flames of light in this life begin to go down. Amen. Because I'm telling you, church, sometimes, amen, life will rain on your fire. Amen. Life will, as they say, rain on your parade. Amen. But what do? You gotta shake it off. You gotta shake off the ashes. Amen. You gotta begin to poke around in your life. You gotta begin to change some things in your life. You gotta begin to seek God a little bit more. And you gotta be saying, God, stir me, stir me, stir me. Amen. With the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That I may be stirred. Amen. And rise above the situation in my life. You know, the worst thing for a firefighter when they're fighting fires is the wind begins to blow. You see it out west when they have the wildfires. The last thing that they want is a wind to come in and begin to move that fire. They want to contain it. That's the problem with a lot of churches. Amen. A little bit of fire gets to brewing. Amen. They want to put a lid on it right now. They want to clamp down on it right now. Amen. But I want the wind of God to begin to move. I want the wind to begin to blow. I wanted to get out of hand a little bit. I want to see somebody, amen, set on fire for God. Amen. That we may turn and go out into the highways and byways and change this old world. I got a cartoon on my desk. Ripley's, believe it or not, called this pastor and said, hey, somebody said there was somebody in your church on fire for God. We want to come in and record it. I'm telling you what, that might be a little funny, but there's a lot of churches that wouldn't know the power of God if it sat right down next to them. Amen. The power of God begins to move. Amen. As I said, they want to clamp down on it. Amen. I want the power of God to fall. I want the wind of God to begin to stir up. Amen. Some individuals in this place. What does the Bible say in Acts chapter 2? Amen. The Pentecostal theme song. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were within one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Now I want you to go back and I want you to live, amen, put yourself, amen, in Luke's shoes as he's trying to pin this down on paper and he's trying to explain what happened in this upper room. He said there came a sound, amen, from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And he said, appeared unto them cloven tongues. He said, like a fire. Amen. What was he seeing? He was seeing the fire of God. Amen. Setting upon each of them. And when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. What you had in the upper room, you had the wind and the fire. And the fire, the Spirit of God. The wind was the breath of God. I'm here to tell you, fire will not burn without oxygen. You can walk into a room that's oxygen free and you can try to strike a match and it won't work. Amen. You need the breath of God along with the fire of God. And when that begins to move, something is about to happen. Somebody is going to get delivered. Somebody is going to get healed. Somebody is going to get changed. But it's going to take the fire and the wind of God, amen, to move the church to the place they need to be. Some people are Velcroed to their seat so tight you couldn't blow them out with a stick of dynamite. We need to lose the Velcro. You know what Velcro is? Come out, I don't know, back in the 80s, it was a quick way to tie your shoes. You didn't have to learn to tie your shoes anymore. You could just Velcro them and move on down the way. Amen. Kids in their 20s and 30s probably don't even know how to tie shoes today. Amen. Because of Velcro. Well, we got it on the backside of our britches too, or our dresses. When we walk into the seat, we plot in. I'm telling you what, a lot of you's got an implant. Amen. Right there. Amen. Nobody's behind you and fits right there but me. Well, Brother Rice, it's time we begin to move, amen, in God, and get out of the Velcro and say, God, stir me. A lot of churches wouldn't even know what it would be like if God stirred them. They've been so dead for so long. Told the story of Sunday night service. Guy on the front pew fell over dead with a heart attack, Brother Merle. They called the squad. They carted half the church out before they found the dead guy. Now, man, that's a sad statement to make about churches that are supposed to have the power of God. Oh, we want to talk about it. We want to sing about it. But I'm telling you what, if we ain't out by noon and in line at Rob's before everybody else, we're all fired up and mad at the preacher. He went way too long. I had to stand in line 30 minutes to get my meal. Amen. If you ain't at Rob's up here, amen, by quarter after 12, you might as well hang it up. Go across the street to the chicken place. I'm telling you what, I don't care about those things. I've come in this place, amen, to come in contact, amen, with a living God. That'll stir me a little bit. Now in the upper room, the wind was blowing. It was rushing with a great force. Those who heard it, amen, and saw it, they saw an undeniable evidence of the wind. The Lord gave an outward sign of his presence in tangible ways so they would understand. He communicated in a way that would be identified immediately. And what wind does when it begins to rush, amen, the Holy Ghost also was doing in their souls, blowing out the cobwebs of fear and the layered dust of uncertainty. There's a lot of people, they won't go any further than this because they don't understand it. My attitude is, if it's in the Word, I want it. Amen, you can talk about it, I don't believe it. Well, that's all right, you don't have to believe it. Well, I don't believe in healing, that's all right, you don't have to. I don't believe in tongues, that's all right, you don't have to. Amen, but when I begin to read the Word of God, Brother Merle, it's in there. And I don't know about you, but I want it. I want to see a move of God, amen, that'll change me, that'll stir me, that'll awaken me. Amen, I want something to rise up within me that's got a bit of life in it. I'm here to tell you this. Amen, God went way too far, amen, to leave this dormant and leave this dead. His Son hung on a cross. 3 days later, he came out, amen, arisen, amen, went back to the right hand of the Father. He sent the power of the Holy Ghost, amen, to wake us up, to make us alive. I don't know about you, but Brother Tim, I want a quickening of the power of the Holy Ghost to move me, quicken me, and make me alive. You want dead? There's a cemetery out there on Arlington Road. You can have all the quiet you want. Amen. But the Bible tells me that we need to be lively stones in the house of God. It's proper to praise. You know what the swing, I know Pentecost gets a name that we are crazy shouters. And yeah, we shout. But you don't have to swing from the chandeliers to have a good service. You don't have to run the aisles to have a good service. But if God quickens you to do that, do that. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the moving of God. Well, I don't buy that. Well, you don't have to buy that. I'm not selling it. I'm offering it. All right, you don't have to believe it. A lot of people snub their nose at it and go on. That's all right. I know what I got, I know what's real, and I know what I want. And I don't know about you, but I want more and more and more and more and more of him. See, the presence of the wind outwardly in the upper room was soon an inward rushing now of new thought. Amen, emotion and will. The Lord's people in the upper room were being stirred up. They were being quickened. Amen. Brought back to life because it had come. The Holy Ghost had come. The second dynamic in the upper room was equally an outward sign of what was happening within. Amen. John the Baptist prophecy was being enacted in the upper room. As Luke wrote what John said, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I come, that the latchets of his shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. Oh, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire and the Spirit of God are synonymous as wind and the Spirit in the Old Testament. Amen. With the prophetic zeal of the Old Testament. Amen. John explained what this new fire was. He said, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. I've said this before. The miracle was that he didn't fill the upper room. The miracle was that he emptied the upper room. They came out under something new. They had no idea what they had. Oh, but they was going to enjoy it. They came out. They said, these guys are drunk. They said, no, it's too early in the day for that. What was it? It was the fire of God that stirred some people up in the upper room, and the birth of a new movement. Amen. Came out. It was what? The movement of the power of Almighty God. They didn't have a manual. Well, I've heard people say, if the King James Version was good enough for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's good enough for me. Well, if I'm not mistaken, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John didn't have a manual. They didn't have no version. New, old, halfway done, just started, they didn't have anything. I'm telling you what, all they knew was what they saw. That's the greatest thing, is to emulate somebody. That's why I like our kids setting out in service. Amen. Amen. Seeing God move. Seeing people get excited. Hearing the word of God. Those guys came, amen, walking down. All of a sudden, Peter and John, amen, stopped. Amen. And they begin to look at this lame man. Amen. They might have passed many times. The more they saw Jesus do it, well, they was going to see what they had. And they uttered those words, silver and gold have I none. But they said the key, but such as I have. If you don't have it, you can't give it away. He said, but such as I have, he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. What happened? No, he didn't. They had to reach down and pull him up. You want me to do? People don't believe this. That guy's been crippled all his life. You want me to walk right? Bible says he reached down and grabbed him. I told you to walk. I preached a message a long time ago. The hip bone connected to the, I don't know how that ankle bone, that song. There was bones a popping and a cracking. That lame man stood up. He got excited. You know what he did, Mother Merle? He busted into the synagogue and he disrupted an old dead prayer meeting. As everybody turned around and said, wait a minute, isn't that guy, that ain't you the one that laid back there all those years? What happened? I came in contact with somebody that was stirred up. I came in contact with somebody, amen, that had the fire of God. Amen. When I'm in a desperate situation, I'm not calling the deadest one in the church. I'm calling the one who's on fire for God. I want somebody to get a hold of God for me. I was preaching last week about David coming out of the cave of Adullam. Everybody in that cave. If you go read Samuel 20, I think it's 1 Samuel 22. They were misfits, in debt, discontented. David running from Saul. Why, if he had 400 men in it, why were they all there? They all had something in common. Misery loves company. Last thing I want to do when I'm feeling bad is to have Mary Poppins palling around with me. That's the last thing I want. I want somebody feeling like I feel. I want somebody feeling down and hurt. Amen. Like me. I don't want somebody, amen, singing and dancing, praising the Lord. But I'm telling you what, the quickest way to get out of that mess, Sister Loretta, is to find somebody that's singing, is to find somebody that's dancing, is to find somebody that's praying, is to find somebody that stirred themselves up. Right. You got to ask a question, what am I? That's the old game, Red Rover, Ren Rover, send whoever right over. played that as a kid, I'd find the girls. There. I'm hitting the winkest link. You better not be the linkest link in here. I hope not. I'll tell you all the time, if you're going to live like the devil, don't wear the Brookville Full Gospel Church of God t-shirt. Tell them you go to the Baptist church or something. We need people live, you know what I mean? Are you the weakest link? Say that 10 times and see how easy it is. Are you? Are you the one that's on fire for God? I was reading a book a while back, and I've told the story. Devil's walking down this street, and he's dispatching demons into houses. Go to the next house, boom. Next house, boom. Skip this house. Little demon behind him. The devil said, whoa, 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 you skipped one. He goes, you don't want nothing to do with them. They're praying. Huh? Where are you at? Huh? Are you poking the embers around? Huh? Are you stirring that up? We got a fireplace at home. It about goes out. Somebody yells, hey, you need to poke the fire. Get up, start poking around, and there, poof, starts back up. I'm thinking, oh, God, let me begin to poke around in my life. Let me find out what I need to get out. Come on, we need to clean the closet out. We need to get rid of the distractions, all the things that hold us down. I mean, sometimes we love to be miserable. Well, I want to tell you what, being happy is a whole lot better. Amen, walking in joy is a whole lot better. Walking under the anointing is a whole lot better. Living in power is a whole lot better. I've been on both sides, and I'm going to live. I'm going to walk in the anointing and the power of Almighty God. The upper room was empty. You know what happened? You go ahead and read that. 3,000 souls were saved that day. Come on, people, fan the flame. Fan the fire. Empty this place so we can fill this place. Fill it with what? Lost souls. I don't care who they are. When I first got saved and first started preaching, pastoring, you know, you're kind of dumb. There's no manual. You're just kind of dumb. You're just out there by the seat of your britches hoping you can get through without tearing everything up. God will send in new people. I look at them and say, God, they ain't got 2 cents to their name. Why are you sending them here? Why are you sending them here? You know, it'd be nice to have a few Cadillacs out in the parking lot. You know, I need a room addition. Come on. You know, I need a house on the lake. You know what I'm talking about. We need to pay the bills. Oh, come on, God. Well, man, I tell you what, God quickened me real quick and said, man, they need Jesus just like you needed Jesus. So that gone. I don't care who they are. I found out the more hurting they are, the more appreciative of the one who delivered them. Man, I was messed up when I got a hold of Jesus. My life was in shambles. Things got a little bit haywire. Things that I thought should have happened didn't happen. Things that I didn't understand, didn't like, and I could honestly a little mad at God. Oh, but something got a hold of me that literally changed me. Something changed me, began to mold me. And now the attitude that I got, whosoever will, I don't care if they're riding a bicycle in here. Oh, God, bring them in. I don't care if they're walking with holes in their pants. Amen. Not a penny to rub or give in the offering plate. I don't care, God, send them in. I'm going to be about the Father's business. Amen. Stir up my compassion. Amen. Stir up my love. Amen. Stir up my attitude. I can step out there and I can witness to the millionaire with a passion, just like I can witness to the drug addict with the same passion. They both need a redeemer, and his name's Jesus. I was that lost one. Bible talks about him going, leaving the 99 and going after the one. I was that lost one. So we need to empty this place so we can fill it with lost souls. Huh? There was a need for the power of God. What happens is, it comes, it begins in the depths of a person's intellect. It literally changes the way you think. You get up from the altar, it's like, wow. Yeah, it's like, wow. As Sister Wager says, say it backwards. Wow. It's like, wow. I got a hold of something. My little grandma, God bless her soul, went on to be with Jesus years ago. Man, she is rough as a cob. I'm telling you what, she'd pop you and throat punch you and all and everything else right in 3 seconds. Smoked about 40 packs of cigarettes a day. I'm telling you what, she was rough, rough, rough. But, buddy, I, as a little kid, I used to get on a day. I don't remember this, but I was about 3 years old. You know, I emulated what I saw out of my dad and out of my uncle. I emulated that. I would get on the coffee table and I'd preach to them. And then, buddy, I tell you what, preacher 101, you got to take an offering. So I would take an offering. The offering would come back and just preacher 102. And ain't enough. We need a little bit more. So I passed the plate again. But I tell you what, I kept that up and I got her and my grandfather coming to church. She got saved one Sunday morning. Brian, she didn't say praise God. She didn't say, oh, I love Jesus. She didn't know anything. She jumped up and started yelling hot dog. You know what it was? She got a hold of something that changed her life. She got a hold of something that stirred her up. Amen. Until the day she died at 75 years old, I'm telling you what, she was a force for Jesus. Something got a hold of her. I'd go preach somewhere else. My family was kind of small. My wife didn't want to drag the kids. Amen. You know who was I packing next to me? Little Granny Jones. Amen. Oh, Brother Merle, your grandma packed with you too. Amen. I'm telling you what, God got a hold of her. And I'm telling you what, I want that in my life today. God, get a hold of me. That no matter what comes or goes, that no matter what I face, that no matter how hard the hill is to climb, I've got an attitude, Brother Rice, more than anything in this life, I've got to make it. I'm not giving up. You've come way too late to tell me that my God is dead, because I know He's on the throne. He's still alive, full of power and might. Why? He has stirred me. Stirred me. He has stirred me today. Well, I'm feeling good. Are you stirred? It changes your intellect, the way you think, your emotion. Well, that people say this is emotional. You better believe it's emotional. I was lost on my way to hell. Something got a hold of me. You better believe I'm emotional about it. He didn't have to save me. He didn't have to do what He's done for me. Why you get emotional about, well, they got to... Well, you watched the game last night. How many were screaming and yelling? I was screaming at the TV last night. I got emotional. Even though my one son said, what in the world are you doing that for? I said, I don't know. It makes me feel better. We get emotional about things. I'm emotional about a lot of things. But I tell you what, you bring Jesus into it, I really get emotional. Hey, man, I ain't backing down. I'm not compromising. You don't like me for what I stand? Well, that's okay. Like I said a couple weeks ago, I'm too old to worry about whether you like me or not. Okay? Maybe in my 20s I worried about it, but not now. I told somebody my life half over. Well, I ain't going to worry about that. I got other things to worry about. Huh? Getting out of bed with this ache and that pain. Huh? Oh, this hip hurts and this hurt. Oh my goodness. I got other things to worry about. I ain't going to worry about whether you like me or not, especially if it's for my faith. Amen. If it's for my faith, well, you might as well, amen, write me off, because I'm not compromising. I'm not giving up. I said all the time, I still believe in a virgin birth, Brother Merle. They can say what they want. I still believe, amen, in a crucifixion. Hey, I still believe in a resurrection. I still believe in the 9 gifts of the Spirit. I still believe in speaking in tongues. I still believe in miracles. He can raise the dead, open blinded eyes, amen, set you free. I still believe in a man called Jesus Christ. If you think I'm changing, well, I got news for you. I'm not compromising. I'm telling you what, 2% of the population got a law change. Where are we at? Under the covers. Oh, God, don't let them think. I got a cartoon. Guy comes to church, pastor, on Easter. You know how people are. The pastor goes, I haven't seen you. Why? He goes, I'm an undercover Christian. Really? You ain't 007. You're negative 007. Undercover Christian, that's the last thing we need to be. Bible says, let our light shine. You stirring it up? Huh? You stirring it up? Only thing gets stirred up in church now, Brother Merle, stink. You know what? Stirring up the gossip. You know what Brother so-and-so did? You know what Sister so-and-so said? I don't spread gospel. You're going to tell me it won't go no further than me. Won't you just stop it right there? Huh? Well, we love to stir stuff up. We're stirring the wrong kind of stuff up. We need to stir up them embers. Sister so-and-so needs to be stirred. Well, what about you? Sister so-and-so shouted a month. What about you? Quit worrying about sister so-and-so. Worried about yourself. Huh? Get on your knees, and the first thing out of your mouth isn't, Lord, give me. It's, Lord, change me. Move in me. Do something in me. It'll change your intellect, your emotion, and your will. See, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Does come not come with observation. What we'll say, the Bible says this, and in Luke 17, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, and when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. So wherever you go, the kingdom goes. You wear your Christian t-shirts? That's all right, but you better not be flipping four-letter words out of your mouth. Huh? You better not be gossiping around the water jug at work, listening to the dirty jokes. I always like them. Oh, excuse me. I said, don't, no. We don't do that. Just don't say it. The kingdom of, yeah, it's not French either. The kingdom of God is within you wherever you go. You know, the worst thing the church can be is a hypocrite. Do one thing and say another. There's so many of them in the body of Christ like that. Am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. I never said I was. Ask my wife. She can give you all my flaws. All three of them. But I'm telling you, if we're going to say it, we need to do it. And if we make a mistake doing it, then we need to fix it. And we fix it by repentance. Okay? David messed up so much. But in Acts chapter 13, God called him out, Brother Merle, a man after his own heart. As soon as the prophet came in and said, you know what you did? You took somebody's little lamb, and you did this and this, talking about Bathsheba and sending Bathsheba's husband to the front lines, premeditated murder. David could have said, I can do what I want. I'm king. Get out of here. But the Bible says he rent his clothes and went out, and he did what? He repented. Takes a lot to say. There's too many Fonzies in the church, and all of you young ones have no clue what I'm talking about. Fonzie couldn't say the word what? Sorry. A lot of church people can't say it either. Just don't come out. But when we can say, I wronged you, I'm sorry, that's the first step of making things right. And if something stirred in you, I'm going to tell you what, the first thing you got to realize to get right with God, you got to realize you're wrong with God. That's a lot of people's problem. I'm okay. Well, no, you're not okay. When you realize you're not right with God, then you can get right with God. That's a lot of our issues. But see, wherever the kingdom goes, it's among us, within us. When the Lord reigns supreme in your life, I'm telling you what, a whole new agenda is given. I'm going to tell you what, and I don't mean to hurt your feelings. It's not about you anymore. It becomes about Him. And what he wants, and what he wants me to do. Can we go that extra mile? Can we go that extra step? We don't even know how, we don't even have any clue what that extra mile or extra step is in this nation. I told a story many times. I went with Don Parrott to China. Underground, I smuggled Bibles into China. You talk about sweating in my boots. I sweat in my boots. Went to an underground school. And we're up there. Man, they're in this apartment complex on the third floor, man, they're getting a praising God and worshiping. I'm sitting in the back. I said, man, they need to be quiet. We're going to get caught. They'll haul us all to jail. I don't need to go to jail in China. I couldn't make it in the U.S. I certainly couldn't make it in China. We start praying for people through an interpreter. 17-year-old kid, 18-year-old girl sitting in front of me. Through the interpreter, I said, what does she want me to pray for her for? I'm the big missionary, you know, from the United States of America. I'm going to bring the power of God to this place. Hey, young lady looked at me through the interpreter. She says, pray that I can preach today because tomorrow I may die. And she wasn't paraphrasing or using a metaphor. She was stating the truth, Brother Merle. And when that hit me, man, something hit me, And I looked, and the interpreter didn't do it, but I looked at the interpreter. I said, switch spots. She needs to pray for me. She needs to pray for me that I would have that type of determination, that I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but I'm so stirred up today. Haman, they was one step away from being hauled off the jail. And I tell the story of the young lady and the persecutor. You need to go home and read the book, The Persecutor. It's 99 cents on Amazon. It will literally change your life. Amen. About the young lady in Russia. Amen. That they caught in an underground. I've told it a million times. We got some visitors. They ain't heard of. I love visitors. They ain't heard my stories. Amen. This young lady. Amen. Oh, where's Susan at? Susan needs to be here today. She tells me all the time my stories are old, but we got new people today. I got a story they haven't heard. Story will literally change your life. This young lady was in an underground meeting in Russia. This is about 1977. I'm reading this book at school. I'm a senior in high school, 1978, 55 years old. Man, I can remember that. Yeah, I can. Reading it. What are you reading? Tell the kids I'm reading a book about, and they just walk away. She, in an underground meeting, this guy was a Navy SEAL, but in the Russian Army. And they had an elite unit that would go around and bust up underground meetings. They'd have a spy, and they'd bust them up. They busted one up, found this girl. They beat her up and took the whole place and took them back to headquarters and, you know, beat them up and let them go. 3 weeks later, Merle, they busted into the another meeting, and there's that girl. And he said, one of his buddies, I mean, he's about 6 foot five, you know, 240 pounds, chiseled. He got her, he said, ripped her blouse off and beat the small of her back till it turned nothing but watery blood. He said his buddy picked her up, threw her across the room to where she hit the upper part of the wall, bit a hole in her lip, crumpled down. He said, middle of the winter, drug the other ones out, half naked, drove them back to the headquarters. He said, beat them up some more, let them loose. He said, about a month later, they busted into another underground meeting, and he said, there she was again. Hey, man, he said, there she was. He said, she still had the scar in her lip where she had bit through her lip. He said, his buddy, they had these little batons. He said, I'm done. He said, she's dead. He, and I'm paraphrasing, it's been a while since I read the book, but he pulled this baton out. He said, my buddy was going to go over and just literally split her skull right there. And he said, I stepped in front of him and said, don't touch her. He said, she had something that was genuine. She had something that was real, that she couldn't stay away from this. This young man said he would not let his buddy touch her. He said, they let her go. He went back to the headquarters in the dungeon. There was a potbelly stove that they would tear the Bibles up and burn them. He said, as he was thinking about that young lady, he opened the book and he started reading John 3:16, how God so loved the world. And in the bottom of that dingy dungeon, amen, he gave his life to God. He went up to his superiors and he said, I can't do this no more. And they transferred him to a ship, amen, off the coast of Canada, about 20 miles into international waters. He jumped out of the ship, amen, swam the shore. This young man at 22 years old wrote the book, The Persecutor. I preached a message about this. One person can make a difference. One person stirred up. You don't have to have a crusade team. You don't have to have 25 semis pulling into a city, erecting a tent to hold 2,000 people. One person, amen, can make a difference. This one young lady that they beat the tar out of, amen, made an impact into this young man's life. That he wrote a book, Underground Evangelism, produced the book and published it. Amen, it sold over 100,000 copies. He reached 100,000 lives because one young lady decided something is stirred in me. Something is stirred. Stirred. I said stirred in me. He wrote that book. Amen. The book got published. It wasn't a few months later. They said the KGB came over him, hey, over here, and put a bullet in his head, and he lost his life. They murdered him, but not before one woman that was stirred, amen, changed one man's life, that wrote a book that changed maybe thousands of lives. Are you stirred today with the power and the anointing of Almighty God? Are you persecutor. It's your homework for next week. Go read it. It'll change your life. If it won't change your life, your spoons fell out of your cup, and I don't know what else to tell you. But go read it. It will. Something changed in her. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God in Matthew and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Are you seeking first? What are you seeking after? Huh? What are we seeking after? We need to be seeking after God. I hope you are. Huh? Are you disciples? Are you a kingdom person? Acts 1:8, as we read, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come up on you. You shall be witnesses. He wanted to get the word out. He wanted these guys to go out two by two. There's got to be a inflow before there can be a outflow. You can't be a lake and live for God, because a lake has nothing. You know, a river, if you think about it, if you ever went to a river, where's all the trash? If you're walking along the riverbank, where's all the trash at? It's along this riverbank. A river purges itself the way it flows. You throw something in the river somehow pushes it out to the banks. That's what we need to do, is purge ourselves. A swamp has an inlet, but it doesn't go anywhere. Swamp is stagnant, smelly, and there's no life there, except for the snakes and the frogs that don't count. But a river with a life-giving flow, the life fish, the fish that can give you life, pushes all the garbage out. Are you a river? Rivers of living water, the Bible talks about. Now they say the Dead Sea has no outlet, and the fish can only live right where the inflow is. If the fish go 200 or 300 yards into the Dead Sea, they die. You got to have an inflow. You got to have a flow of God's presence. It can't be a form. I'm not going to get you in here with $20 bills under the pews. I used to play, go to school with guys that only went to church because they could play on the softball team. Not what I want you here for. I want you here because there's a presence here. There's a power here. A life-changing message here. We had a sign out here on the front. We put a message up, signs broken, message is inside. The message is what? Jesus. That's it. Jesus. Are you searching for Jesus? Are you? He told Timothy, wherefore I put in thee remembrance in 2 Timothy 1:6 that thou stir up the gift of God which is in you by the laying on of hands. The Bible doesn't talk about what the gift was. Paul laid his hands on him and prayed for him. It could have been ordaining him to be the pastor. It could be, I don't know what. But God gave Timothy a gift. And I'm going to tell you what, everybody's got a gift. Everybody does. There's no big I's, little U's. I might be the pastor, but that's okay. If I show up and you don't, I'm preaching to the pews. Doesn't do me any good. Okay, this is the church, not my church. It's our, a lot of people say, well, I go to Brother Nelson's church. I said, won't you say I go to our church? I go to the Brookville Full Gospel Church where the pastor's Kevin Nelson. That's fine. It's not my church. It's your church. Doug, this is your church. As much as it is my church. So we need one another to do the task at hand, to accomplish the task at hand. So I don't know what the gift was. We all got gifts. We got gifts to sing, teach. Why can't sing or teach? Well, can you pray? Remember Moses had to have somebody hold his arms up when the battle was going? Can you pray? Yeah, we got youth leaders. Yeah, we got board members. Yeah, we got those people. That's all right. We need leadership. But the leaders got to have you praying for them. We got people in here with ideas. We got people in here that have talents to electrical. Doug's jack of all trades, every tool in the book. Eddie's electrician. If we need somebody shot, we'll hire Steve. He's a local cop. We got people in here with talents. But I'm telling you what, we need your talent. The devil will tell you, you bring nothing to the table. Well, the devil's a liar. You bringing something to the table. I don't care. There's no dumb ideas. There's no dumb thoughts. You bring something to the table. And I want to tell you what. You know what the backbone of the church is? It's not me. Backbone of the church, Sister Claire, is those people on their face before God praying for this church. It's the prayer warriors that are interceding that this place be a success, that this place be a light, that this place be the beacon on a hill. Kenny Henson wrote a song years and years ago, The Lighthouse. What a powerful song. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, Brother Rice, where would my life be? The dark, stormy night, couldn't see nothing, but I saw the light. Who's the lighthouse? It's Jesus. We got to preach Jesus. We got to love him. Reach out. Is there something stirred within you today? We look around at the world, man, I hope there is something stirred within you. Huh? So I don't know what the gift was, but you got to fan the flame. See, God, the one thing the devil wants to give you is fear. He haven't given you the spirit of fear, but a power and a sound mind in 2 Timothy 1:7. Huh? I see a hot amber. Stir it. My cousin goes primitive camping. And primitive. He doesn't go in. He goes tent. Takes one match. Lights one fire. And keeps one fire burning the whole time he's there. How does he do it? He never lets it die out. He's stirring it. He's poking it. He's stirring up those embers. He's stirring up those hot ashes. Fan your flame. And I want to tell you what, when you do, you'll walk in a life of power that you can make a difference. To make a difference to who? Those around you. A sound mind. Oh my gosh, we need people with sound minds. There's a lot of crazies in the church. I'm telling you, I've been in this all my life. There's a lot of crazies. We need people with sound minds. Thinking right, looking right. And you don't have to think like me. I don't want everybody to be cookie cutters. Hey, man, you got to have your own way of thinking. But good golly, we all got to think like that, like the Word of God. We all got to be in tune with the Word of God. Hey, man, we all got to believe in that. Hey, man, but we need a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. No cowards. Fan the flame. You're chosen by God. 2 Timothy says this in 8 and 10. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testament of the Lord, nor of his prisoner, of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, called us. And this is the greatest thing. And the devil comes and says, you're a nobody. Well, you know what you're telling Lois? God must love nobodies because God called me. The Bible says that you were drawn by the presence of God. So if God loves me, that's okay. I'm a nobody. He loves me. That really makes me a somebody, a child of the King. He called me. A holy calling. Not according to your works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is the gospel in a nutshell, people. These three verses form a priceless pearl in the midst of this very personal letter. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance. There's four strong appeals. Timothy 1:6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. Stir the gift up. Number one. 1:8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Number two. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace. That's the third one. 2 Timothy 2:3, thou for endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. 4, don't fear, don't doubt. Because I want to tell you what, fear and doubt and the testimony of Jesus Christ do not blend. You can't serve God walking in fear. You can't serve God walking in doubt. 1:7, back to 1:7, for God has not given us the power, given us the spirit of fear, but a power, but of love and a sound mind. Where are you at? Where are you walking? Huh? He saved us. 9 and 10 called us, and I'm trying to hurry here. A holy calling, not according to your work. You didn't deserve this. I couldn't buy this. I couldn't earn this. I don't care how many chicken dinners you have me over for. It ain't going to get you to heaven. I'm telling you that right now. It ain't going to get you to heaven. You're going to get to heaven by following Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. That's the reason. He saved us. Called us, graced us, abolished the power of death, brought life and immortality. This is the gospel in a nutshell. Saved us and set us free. The gospel is salvation. But the salvation language, as we see today, has fallen on deaf ears, has fallen on hard times. The church, in my opinion, has kept silent way too long. We've let too many things get accomplished that shouldn't have got accomplished. And we're the blame. We are, and we should be, the power force on the face of this earth. But we've got to seek God. We've got to accept salvation. You can't reject it. But as I said earlier, the first thing you have to do is you've got to admit you're lost. What does Romans say? You know, you find a lot of people that think they're all right, but the Bible says it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us was in a state that we needed a redeemer. The gift through Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. How many knows, how many understands that the power of God is rich and real? How many knows and how many understands that the power of God is what we need more than anything in this life? I'm telling you what, you're not going to get it anywhere else. The government's not going to give it to you. The local government's not going to give it to you. The state government's not going to give it to you. Your spouse ain't going to give it to you, but Jesus will give it to you. How much do you want it? He saved us. One night again, he saved us and called us according to not my works, but according to his own purpose. A purpose. He's got a purpose for you. Are you stirring it up? Are you stirring it up? The Bible says in Isaiah 43, he formed you. He's redeemed you. He's called thee by name. You're his. Are you stirring up that gift? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. I've seen a lot of people, and I'm getting ready to close here in a minute. I've seen a lot of people go through this Christian walk, Brother Brian, like they're on a dead diet of lemons. Soured. And I'm going to tell you what, life can sour you real quick. Life can make you bitter. Life can make you angry. And I'll tell you what, everybody in here probably has justification to be mad at life, Brother Merle. You do. I do. He lost his wife a couple years ago. I lost my dad at the age of 23. But when I look at that, I'm thinking, what would that accomplish? That would have ruined your testimony right there. What would that have really accomplished? I could have allowed it to sour me. I could allow it to make me bitter. Sister Parrott, in 1 year, lost both of her parents in her early 20s. But I'm here today because I refuse to die. I refuse to allow the enemy to choke the life out of me. My fire was dwindling down, and I just started poking at it. What do you mean by poking at it? Praying, seeking God, getting prayer, hanging with good godly people. Before long, that fire, Brother Brian, that was almost dead, began to dance a little bit. And the more I poked at it, the more I prayed at it, the more I read about it, the more I sought for him. Now I didn't have hot embers anymore, Sister Loretta. I had a dancing fire. And it was the fire of God. A lot of people don't like to know, but this is your responsibility to stir the fire up. Yours. You can have as much as God as you want. We sing that song, more and more and more of him. Nothing else will do. Nothing else matters. That's all I want. There ain't nothing new. You want something new, get a hold of him. His blessings are new. His love kindness is new. There ain't no new message. There ain't no newfangled thing. It's Jesus. It's the same message that it was 2,000 years ago that Paul was preaching. Him crucified and him resurrected. It's Jesus. See, I don't serve him with, as Ephesians, Paul was writing in 6:6 of Ephesians, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God. Where? From the heart. A freedom to live. A freedom to share. A freedom to walk in the adventure of the kingdom of God. See, Peter in Acts 2 stood up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, "You men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vaporous smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. Therefore that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what happened. Part of that happened in the upper room under the fire of God. The rest is going to happen in the end time. And we're living right at those days. I'm telling you what, if there's ever a time we need to fan the flame, it's now. I don't know if I could scream it any louder, Brother Rice, Jesus is coming. I don't know if I could proclaim it any louder, Jesus is coming. And Brian, he's not coming after a dead, dormant operation. He's coming after an operation that's full of power and full of might. The Bible says that we can disarm the strong man. The Bible says we can pull down the powers of darkness. How do we do it? I'm going to tell you what, church, there's power, absolute authority in the name of Jesus. But you got to be living right. You got to be living where you're at, where you need to be. Are you close to God? Are you fanning the flame? Oxygen will allow the fire to increase. The breath of God will allow the fire to increase. Let God breathe on you. I want more and more of Him. That song says nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. I don't want a counterfeit. I don't want a fake. I want the absolute genuine presence of God to stir me. Are you fanning the flame? Are you stirred today? Are you excited about your walk? Do you get up Monday morning and think, aha, this is the day the Lord hath made? Huh? I'm going out there into the world. Let me be a light. Every head bowed. If anybody needs to pray today, these altars are open. I don't know where your life's at. I don't know where your walk's at, but I do know if you're not where you need to be, you can leave this assembly where you need to be. Let God touch you. Let God get His hand in the middle of your business. And let God begin to mold you. Amen. Get on the potter's wheel. Let the potter begin to do a work in your life. His name's Jesus. Fan the flame, church.